Hello again, Nightmare Society. After the shock of the loss of someone who many people looked up to this past weekend, basketball star Kobe Bryant, it's a reminder of the brevity of life. In fact, many contributors have extremely close calls with death in stories I've read here before. Let's remember to continue to live life fearlessly, in pursuit of what lights us up, and therefore the world. Because no matter when we make that final transition, we can all make a difference in the meantime. So tonight we have a rather terrifying close call from user DiscoWitch2828, as well as user Scroobs. Don't get me wrong, user Scroobs' story is legitimately scary, but I could not keep a straight face through parts of it. It sounds like a story straight out of my life. Just listen, you'll understand. So, thank you to user DiscoWitch2828 and user Scroobs for allowing me to share your stories tonight. Also, be sure to check out my Instagram at Nightmare Society Radio for some reference information for this episode, as well as my Twitter at Society_Radio. Be sure to email your true horror stories to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
So about 3 years ago, I was going to school in a U.S. city, and I was living with two other roommates. My one roommate was known to usually bring seedy characters back to the apartment. At one point during our fall semester, she befriended a guy in her advertising class. He went by the name of Dallas. He became her weed dealer, and she would frequently bring him over to the apartment. I suspected they were sleeping together, but she denied it. It was a strange relationship, but who am I to judge? My other roommate and I thought he was charismatic enough, but also didn't see the appeal that Christy, my roommate who befriended him, saw. I remember one night we had Dallas over for dinner. He told us how he played for our college's football team, that he just started his own business at the age of 25, and that he was a very well-known weed dealer who made a crap ton of money. And his name was Dallas because he used to live in Dallas, Texas, and his parents named him after that. Me and my other roommate nodded our heads and listened, but we didn't think much of it, except for this dude thought very highly of himself and wanted to gloat about himself. Mind you, he was like 5'4 and probably not over 150 pounds. I believe he came over for dinner or something, maybe one or two other times. My roommate claimed that one time she decided to buy weed from him and went to his apartment off campus. When she arrived, she saw our roommate, Christy, just pass the heck out on a chair in the middle of the day, in his apartment, in some random room. When my roommate arrived, he mentioned nothing of her being there. My roommate shook her awake and Christy just woke up in a haze and basically told my roommate to leave. My roommate recounted the story to me and we both agreed it was really freaking weird, and Dallas was probably not the safest person to hang out with. After a couple of months, Christy stopped hanging out with him. I remember her saying he got mad she didn't want to sleep with him. I also found out that a friend of hers who knew him for a long time was engaged to him. Oh, also his real name wasn't Dallas. Shocker there. Fast forward 2 years. Me nor my roommate talk to Christy anymore. We're living somewhere else in said city doing our own thing. We get an alert on our phones that a girl who had just transferred to our college went missing after leaving from one of the campus bars the previous night. It doesn't take long, maybe a few days, when this huge story breaks. This girl was killed by someone she left the bar with that night. My roommate calls me and goes,
"Dude, do you remember what Dallas's real name was?"
And I say,
"Yeah, I believe it was."
She goes,
"Go online and read this article. He killed that girl who just went missing."
Sure enough, I go online and there's the most horrifying mugshot of Dallas, next to a photo of the girl he had just slain. It gets crazier. Apparently, he had taken her home that night. An attempt at a one-night stand sort of deal, I assume. And I guess at one point things turned bad. And he killed her. By blunt force and strangulation. If that isn't terrible enough, he cleaned up the evidence in his apartment, threw her body in a storage container, took a ride share to his grandma's house hours away, and buried the storage container with her remains in it, on the property somewhere. After obtaining a video of the two of them leaving together from the bar, it didn't take cops long to bust him. Weeks after the story broke, so many girls came forward and shared similar creepy stories about Dallas, the guy who played for said college's football and ran a successful business. You can guess that none of that was ever true. Also, he was like 28 years old, claiming he was still a student at our college when this happened, preying on younger women. It's a truly horrible story, what happened to that young girl. So, Dallas, you evil human being, let's never meet again. I hope you rot in jail for the rest of your life. As a humanist, I try to look for opportunities to help my fellow humans, to be a living fountain of kindness and compassion, hopefully leaving the world nicer than when I found it. But there's a thin line between being kind and being naive. I also learned this the hard way. 3 to 4 years ago, I was 24. I'm female, recently single, and living happily alone. I left work around 3 a.m., the joys of the service industry, and I had just given a ride home to a coworker who closed with me. It wasn't a bad part of town per se, but also not the greatest. Whatever. Time to head home and get some sleep myself. Patiently waiting at a red light, streets are void of cars and people. Again, it's 3 a.m. When I notice a man and a woman stumbling down the sidewalk to my right. The man knocks on my car window and I flinch. My car doesn't have electronic anything, and my window was already down an inch. But maybe they need help or something. Why else would they be staggering around at 3 a.m.?
"Her ankle is broken. She can't walk."
The lady is kind of swaying just out of my view, moaning either in pain or inebriation. I frown.
"I can call someone if you like. Or there's a gas station over there. Maybe you could..."
The guy opens my front passenger door. My coworker had not locked it, and the woman staggers into my car. It happened so fast. I was stunned. Even more so when the guy squeezed in beside her. Two people somehow fitting into the front seat of my Toyota Corolla. I was supremely conscious of the woman's leg pressing against my purse at her feet. Inside was my phone, Kindle, and wallet with all the hard-earned money I'd made the past 2 weeks of waiting tables, my rent, and more. They reek of alcohol, and their eyes have this glaze to them. They are high as hell. The guy tells me,
"You're gonna drive us to the Kroger."
"You mean the Walmart just up the street?"
"Drive. Go, drive."
"Oh, okay,"
I stammered and complied. Were they armed? I did not want to find out. The guy was drinking something out of a bottle in a brown paper bag, like a class act. What would they do if I refused? They were clearly in an altered state. Unpredictable. Dangerous. Don't escalate, don't provoke. I pressed my lips into a forced smile. I decided I would be as calm and polite as I could manage. And maybe they'd have second thoughts about murdering someone so nice. Or at least feel a little bad about it. Crap. They tried to engage me in conversation as we drove. The woman seemed about 40, leathery skin, and quite manic. She would rattle off schizophrenic nonsense 1 minute, and then become incredibly lucid and well-spoken on a complex topic, like computer science, for the next. Watching her go back and forth between the two states was truly surreal. She told me I didn't need to be scared. They weren't going to hurt me. Just needed a ride. I nodded and smiled and continued to scream internally. The man seemed much older than she was. Probably in his 60s. Bald with wisps of white hair. Maybe her uncle or father? He would only speak up to give turn-by-turn directions, and would absolutely lose his mind at me if I so much as changed lanes unexpectedly. As the neighborhood deteriorated around us, I desperately scanned the roads for a police car on patrol. I would call attention to myself somehow, run a red light, honk, swerve at them, anything to draw attention, and I would be saved, and no such luck. My passengers were becoming increasingly agitated and paranoid as we neared our destination. They could sense my fear, because the woman began to play with my hair and stroke my cheek.
"Hey, don't be scared. I said we're not gonna hurt you. You're such a nice girl,"
she cooed in my ear.
"You so nice. Such a pretty white girl.
Holy crap, holy crap." The man chuckled. "I see the Kroger across the street, but..."
"No!"
they screamed at me. They told me to turn left into the sketchiest apartment complex ever. My heart sank. This is how it ends, I thought. Raped or dead or both. They have me idle in the parking lot and the guy gets out.
"I'll be right back. Make sure she don't go nowhere. We got more stops after this."
Oh, no. The woman stays with me in the car, and the guy disappears into one of the units. This is obviously a drug deal. I idly wonder if I'm guilty of a crime now, an accessory to something. I wonder if they try and get me to come to the party with them later, or some crap like that. Not going to happen. I knew that if they got me out of the car, it'd be the beginning of the end. Once the man leaves, the woman spreads out in the passenger seat. I think she's just making herself comfortable until her legs part suggestively And she begins to sexy slow dance in my 2008 Toyota Corolla to My Immortal by Evanescence. She looks over at me with her most lustful set of bedroom eyes. She bites her lip and her hands travel up her thighs. She asks me,
"You like what you see?"
Is this really happening? Did she just proposition me while sexy dancing to Evanescence? As if this night could not get more bizarre. Luckily, my poker face is real strong, and I suppress any reaction. I break into an apologetic smile.
No, but thank you. I don't swing that way.
I hastily switch one of my everyday rings to my wedding ring finger and hold it up with a regretful smile.
I'm married, you see, and my husband is expecting me home soon.
Her seductive demeanor drops like a curtain, her face twisting with fury and indignation.
What do you think I am? Think I'm some kind of hooker? It wasn't like that. I didn't mean it like that.
What the actual...
Oh, no. I didn't think that at all. I'm sorry. I'm just very tired because I worked all day. It's really late.
She stares at me hard, eyes wide open and struggling to focus, until her face breaks into another wide, manic smile. She slumps back into the chair, seemingly satisfied with my answer. And we share an uncomfortable silence. I had to do something. No way was I going to see how this night played out with me and the two of them. My eyes dart to the unit the man went into and I lean over to the woman, my face a mask of concern.
Hey, he's been gone a long time. Do you think you should go check on him? Make sure he's okay?
Her eyes narrow suspiciously, and she gives me a wry smile.
You won't just drive away?
I summoned every ounce of angelic calm and poured it into my voice.
Of course not. You promise? Yes.
I smiled warmly.
I promise.
Dying a little more inside. Imagine my surprise when it actually worked. I watch her get out of the car and close the door. I immediately book it, rubber screeching, heart pounding. It's dark, so I don't bother looking back. I try to leave the complex, but there's only one exit, the way we came in, which is right where I dropped them off. I pull into a random parking spot several buildings away and turn off my car, ducking into the seat and calling. Well, I guess I should have called the police then and there, but I didn't feel like I was out of the woods yet. But I was safe-ish, and I called a friend and broke down into tears explaining everything over the phone. Once the adrenaline wore off, I started my car back up. No sign of anyone watching the gate or looking for me. I make my getaway and drive home safely about 30 minutes later. I called the police then and an officer was sent to take my statement. I didn't expect anything to come of it, but wanted the event on record in case there was retaliation. They knew where I worked because of my uniform, which also had my name prominently displayed. As well as what car I drove, obviously. The officer asked where I ended up taking them, and from my vague description, he instantly knew the location. High crime area. Lots of drug-related incidents. Great. I still drive that 2008 Corolla. My next car will have electric locks. Again, a huge thanks to Disco Witch 2828 and Scroobs for allowing me to share their stories. And thank you guys for listening. Please don't forget to share the podcast with your family and friends. And follow me on Instagram at Nightmare Society Radio for photos and information from the stories as they come, as well as my Twitter at Society_Radio. You can email your true horror story to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Sweet dreams.